Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, a lot of the footage is comparable to video games. But this isn't a video game. This is life and death. And some said, well, hey, these people were in a war zone, these Reuters reporters, this van full of kids. That's their problem. But the war zone is an urban built-up area in a major city in Iraq. And the Pentagon blocked this being released. And this is the type of stuff that happens in war, in modern war. So then you have to ask, is this then a just war? And before you go invade a country and knowing there's going to be this type of collateral damage, you better make sure your nation is under threat. We know they lied about WMDs and everything else. But Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, goes by Tony Schaefer, is our guest. Very nice to be joining us. You got cut off by the break. This is a short segment as well. Continue with the points you were making.
All right. Well, and I agree with your point on the whole justification of the war thing, Alex. You and I talked about it a little bit. I think, frankly, you and I've talked about this, and I'll say it for your benefit of your listeners. I think there's other ways we could have taken care of Iraq without a full-blown invasion. With that said, though, I think that's a topic for another day. But back to this specific video, giving the benefit of the doubt to the Apache drivers in the heat of the moment, I think there could have been justification regarding the misidentification of the bags as either weapons or RPGs, maybe. I'm pretty dubious, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. The mistakes I saw, which were the clear violations, Alex, were first off, right after they got clearance to fire. Once they fired, they should have essentially stopped then and paused and tried to figure out what was going on. And one of the things, one of the clear rules that would have broken is it says once someone is down, you quit shooting. They didn't quit shooting. They made sure these guys were dead. Now, as an intelligence officer, I said this on the air, that's stupid. As an intelligence officer, you want to capture people to find out what their affiliation is, why they were doing what they were doing. Clearly, this was not good common sense. This is not something, and frankly, if I were the commander and I saw this on the battlefield, I would have stopped those soldiers right there and done something, because that's not the way you should conduct yourself. Now, let's fast forward to the van, and this is something I think has become a very big point of contention, which I frankly think is a huge mistake, both for the PR war and another clear violation of the rules of engagement. When the Reuters reporter was on the ground crawling away, they were waiting, they were trying to egg him on, hoping he'd pick up a weapon. As I said before, once a person's down, you're obligated to go in there and render aid and try to capture them and find out what's going on. When the van shows up to give him aid, and Alex, I've watched the video at least three times to make sure I understood it correctly. First off, if you look at the video carefully, you see people are in the van, and there is no indication from the van at any point in time that it was a threat. And this is where it clearly states that you have to have a clearly defined threat before you fire and use deadly force. In this case, it was very clear there was no threat from that van. That van was there to render aid for that individual. Now, there's reports out on this. I'm not sure if you found copies of it or not. I've been able to read the reports. I don't have a copy of them. Something called AR-15-6, Army Regulation 15-6 investigative reports, which are essentially a fact-finding investigation directed by the commander to go through and assess what happened. Within the reports relating to this incident, it talks about the fact that there were vehicles out that day, four-door sedans, running weapon to insurgents. Well, it's very clear from the video that that was not a four-door sedan that was fired on. So apparently in the investigation, they tried to say, well, we misidentified the van. The van, I don't think that's possible. I think the van is very clearly identified as a van, not as a four-door sedan. So in my judgment, my professional judgment, both on my experience in Afghanistan, having been in urban warfare, having to make don't shoot decisions, and on the rules of engagement, the two clear violations were continuing to fire once the individuals were down, and of course, firing on the van when there was no hostile threat indicated, as a matter of fact, it was the contrary. It indicated, for the most part, that those people were trying to render aid to that individual, which, again, as an intelligence officer, they could have monitored that van, they could have followed it, and as you see in the video, U.S. forces show up within minutes of the incident to secure the area. The idea
Colonel Schaefer, stay there. Long segment coming up. Let's get your conclusion on this, and then talk about the nature of modern warfare, period, straight ahead.
Hi, everyone. Andy Anderson here. Are you using those little bottles of hand gel that kill germs, bacteria, and other nasties? In today's world, that's smart, especially with the filthy doorknobs, shopping carts, and handrails we touch every day. Did you know that once the alcohol evaporates in a few seconds, goodbye effectiveness. No more protection till you use it again. PureWorks to the rescue. Our FDA-compliant foam, lotion, soap, and spray do not contain alcohol. Their killing power lasts up to 4 hours. PureWorks disinfecting spray is EPA-certified to kill swine, flu, bird flu, MRSA, HIV, hepatitis B and C, and for our friends in medicine, kills C. diff, along with a whole host of viruses and bacteria, molds and fungus too. It's even safe around pets and children. You'll love how your skin feels with PureWorks, soft and supple. No more dry skin. Here's to a little peace of mind knowing that your hands are still germ-free hours later. Call now, toll-free, 888-245-0300 to get your hands on PureWorks and get PureWorks on your hands. That's 888-245-0300.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Terran is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, our trusted Bilderberg sleuth, Jim Tucker, has discovered and confirmed the city it is to be in Spain. He'll be joining us coming up in the next hour, the next 25 minutes. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is our guest. And you can check out the website, c4ads.org. He's got a new book coming out very soon that's going to have a lot of new revealing information about how the Army was stopped from killing bin Laden and other senior leadership of al-Qaeda in the months and weeks before 9/11. And, of course, when he tried to testify in closed session to Congress about this, he later got persecuted for it, but that was proven to be a fraud. And so he's with us today. Look, Colonel, they can say...
Yeah.
That this is the rules of war, people get killed, it's a war zone, but you talk about adrenaline, it's something more than that, because, you know, I've seen old gun pod footage of fighter pilots in Vietnam, they weren't giggling and snickering and you know, this bloodlust, and we see footage of some of the troops, it's a minority, you know, getting off on shooting dogs or throwing dogs off cliffs. They've 2, 3, 4 tours, something a military's never been forced to do. You know, some of these guys are coming back and are completely bonkers. But I think for the average citizen to see these gun pod footage shows them what is an everyday, you know, thing going on out there. And the way people are now disconnected from what soldiers for thousands of years have faced, killing their enemy right up, looking them in the eyes, and we see the ground troops show up, and they show empathy for the children that are in the minivan that's been shot to hell, and then you hear the helicopter pilot and the gunner say, "Ah, shouldn't be in a war zone," and so we see not just the people on the ground being dehumanized, but we see the people in the helicopters being dehumanized.
Well, I agree with you, and this is one of those things where, again, if I were the commander and I witnessed that, those soldiers would have been relieved on the spot, because, Alex, that is exactly the point. All combat, especially the people I've been in combat with, do not conduct themselves in that manner. You anytime you have to take a life, you need to be reverent in the fact that you are doing it. And as you mentioned, my book, The Dark Side of the Force, is coming out later this year, in the last day of August. And, you know, one of the first incidents in that book I talk about, my first combat convoy, I have to make a choice about shooting or not shooting an 8-year-old kid who throws a Sun juice empty box in front of the vehicle in front of me. And I would have been right to shoot the kid by the rules of engagement, but I didn't. And this is one of those things that was a win-win for the Taliban. If I shot the kid, that's good, because, you know, we shot a kid, and that's a score for them. And if I didn't shoot him, that makes me less likely to shoot a kid next time if he does have a bomb in his hand. So this is the nature of modern warfare. It's one of those things where there's no right answers, but if you pick the wrong answer, it's going to be hurtful no matter what. And let's not kid ourselves. This is a war of images, a war of information. And, you know, you have Infowars.com. That is a brilliant way of displaying information relating to what is really going on. This is one of those things, Alex, we have to be better than the adversary. If you recall, the Taliban came out with a 29-point code of conduct last year done by al-Badr, who was actually wrapped up recently because he became too pro-negotiating for his own good with the Pakistanis. So we will never see the Taliban actually execute their operations in conjunction with that 69-point code of conduct. This is where we're better than they are, and frankly, this is one of the points I'd like to say. I'm not speaking for the Army, but the Army and the DOD is actually going to relook this now, because it's the right thing to do. We need to look at the circumstance of why was it the soldiers were so apt to shoot that day. Clearly, it's not only a training issue, it's a psychological issue. And let's not forget, Alex, that we have record number of suicides from post-traumatic stress. I think this is why you're seeing such a great number of post-traumatic stress issues, because people are not doing the right thing necessarily. Commanders are obligated to train and equip their soldiers to win, but then also they're responsible for holding them back, because, as you point out, through our history, we have been better than this. We're obligated to try to pull people back. And we also had Vietnam. We had the My Lai massacre. So we have had a record of people going off the reservation. I'd like to believe that's the exception, but we've got to be better about the way we conduct modern warfare, because things like this do matter, and it shapes the al-Qaeda battle space. This video will help al-Qaeda recruit, and we both know that.
Okay, let's expand on this, though. Take a movie like Apocalypse Now with Colonel Kurtz, who's gone completely insane, and so the military sends out a special operator, to kill him.
Captain Miller, right.
But now I read John Yoo memos, I read Alberto Gonzalez memos, guys that have never been in the military, never been in combat, and they're saying we can crush children's genitals, we can torture children. The military's given this. The Pentagon hires jail guards and people who've been fired from federal jails for abuse. General Tagumbo's own report says raping children, raping people with acid. I mean, this is in the Army report. Far worse than those images. Why on earth would the Pentagon accept directives from the Bush White House, knowing that once this was implemented, this would absolutely destroy morale and turn us into the Nazis in the eyes of the world?
Well, I think that's the answer. The answer to your question is within your question. I think a lot of those policies were established for retribution more than actual intelligence collection. The Army put out a policy a few years ago saying we will follow a very strict regimen of basically techniques, non-intrusive, non-violent techniques to break people. Again, I cite for you my book. There's two chapters about an FBI special agent and I working to interrogate and break. I mean, we didn't touch him once, but within 3 days we were able to break him by use of really good investigative and interrogation techniques. And I think, based on my experience, you can get people to talk. You don't have to teach them, touch them. You don't have to torture them. But a lot of times, as you know, their mind becomes their own worst enemy because of the imagery of their own fears. You can touch on people's fears without touching them. And that's the idea here. We need to be better and more instructive in how we have people do that.
Well, let's take Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He confessed after 100-plus waterboardings. They finally threatened his family. You know, they finally said, well, something bad's going to happen to your kids and wife if you don't. He confessed to bombing buildings that weren't built till 4 years after he was arrested. He almost confessed to sinking the Titanic or killing Kennedy. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, and I think this brings up an excellent problem for the prosecutions we're now going to face for the 9/11 terrorists, the detainees at Guantanamo Bay, which is similar to anybody who has something to do with 9/11 regarding the techniques you just mentioned. Anytime you torture someone, Alex, the fact is this. They're going to tell you whatever you want to know to make the pain stop. And that's been proven over and over again. So, again, it's one of those things where I think there are some other very advanced techniques. One of the 9/11 conspirators were broken by very complex techniques relating to the fact that he was a pedophile. So they, in this one instance, they used the idea that his personal conduct was directly in contrast and contradiction to his personal beliefs relating to Allah and his faith. So enough of hitting him on that, not hitting him literally, but hitting him with the idea of the disconnect between his personal conduct and his personal beliefs is what broke him eventually. And this is the idea. You need to get inside these people's head, these individuals' head, and break them without touching them. So when you look at the interrogation program, I personally turned down a seat at that in that program. I talk about that a little bit in my book about the being given a tour of one of the secret prisons and then saying, you know, I've been asked, what do you think? It's like, look, I basically said, just to read ahead in the book here, I want nothing to do with this. And frankly, that's the problem. I think when you have a policy set up by an administration, Alex, the Army or the military is obligated to follow it. And that's one of those things where you have lawyers, hopefully lawyers who are smart enough to understand that you can't arbitrarily decide to start breaking U.S. laws. And I frankly read the memos done by the Bush White House lawyers as being illegal, approving illegal activities, which frankly, you know, we as soldiers are obligated to try to resist illegal orders. And you were told that in your training. It is your obligation to not follow illegal orders. It becomes a very fine line between following orders which are given by lawful authority, which we're trained to do, or, you know, trying to find a way to not follow or disabuse yourself of illegal orders.
Well, I mean, you just talked about it being illegal, and clearly it is illegal on the face of it and immoral. But now we have Obama continuing snatch and grab. More black sites have been exposed all over Europe and Asia. We know this is intensifying, not subsiding. And so I guess they got away with it. So now it's secret policy in the CIA.
Speaking as an academic, every administration who comes in tends to take on the tools which the previous administration used and were successful in using. So frankly, you know, I don't believe there's going to be any great difference between the Bush White House and the Obama administration on a number of these policy issues. And let's cite, for example, Alex, the kill capture program. I've said on Fox News a couple different times recently that the Obama administration's their default position is killing people. And that's something I find totally idiotic as an intelligence officer. The idea is you need to capture people and find out what they know. So because they don't want to deal with the issues relating to what do we do with detainees, do we put them on trial in a civilian court, do we do military tribunals, because they don't want to deal with that, now the default position is killing people, which you've read about recently with the issue of Al-Awlaki. Apparently, according to the news reports over the past 2 weeks, there is now essentially a death warrant been issued for him to be killed, if possible, by U.S. or Yemeni forces on site. So this is something clearly that I think is a bit, I think we should be defaulting. Our default position should be capturing these individuals. And if we really can't, then I think we need to look at it. But we should be capturing them. And frankly, the other problem with this is that in the extremist belief, Alex, being a martyr is a great thing. I think we need to avoid giving them that opportunity to be a martyr. This includes Awlaki, and this includes bin Laden, if he's still alive.
Osama bin Laden, let's cut right to the chase. Trained in the 80s, worked with the CIA. We know the Muslim brigades have been used to destabilize countries the West doesn't like. They were used against the Soviets. They're being used against the Russians. Today, it's a convenient boogeyman out there. We know the underwear bomber was allowed on the plane, protected, given a visa by the U.S., an unnamed intelligence agency told the State Department this. This is on record. And then we get the internal Homeland Security documents. Most of Homeland Security now and NORTHCOM is set up for the American people, returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives. Law enforcement gave us those documents last year. They were confirmed to be accurate, and the Pentagon was hopping mad, and so was Homeland Security that we got them. But when we really look at this, this is a system that's been set up for the American people. And, you know, you're in Ireland right now. You said Northern Ireland leaders condemn bombing. I've got the New York Times article. I had Agent Steak Knife on before they killed him a few years ago. You know, a British Special Forces, Special Air Services assigned to this. And he said that the IRA was run by British intelligence as a pretext to radicalize things, as an excuse to be in Ireland, especially Northern Ireland. I mean, come on. We know the Russians have staged terror. We know our own government has Operation Northwoods. What can you say about government actually being behind some of the terrorism in history?
Well, Alex, I got to stick with what I know for it to be the fact. I mean, some of these references you've mentioned, I have not read, and I can't speak to things I don't know.
You know about Northwoods?
Well, I don't know much about that. I've not studied that. But what I will say is that there's clearly, as of late, a tendency to start looking at internal threats more than external. Now, I cut my teeth as a lieutenant doing counterterrorism stuff in Germany back in the mid-80s. And it was very clear then, and I'm not sure what changed between then and now in many aspects, but I know back then we were very much concerned about the Soviets funding radical groups within Germany. As a matter of fact, my first counterterrorism operations were focused on the RAF, sports group Hoffman, and things like that, where it was very clearly a third party, a third organization being the Soviet Union, was funding a lot of that activity, as noted by the fact that once the Cold War ended, a lot of these groups faded off into the distance and never came back. I think that we have to be very cognizant of the fact that there is some real, you know, energy been given now to our government looking internally. And I think in some cases it is not warranted by the fact that you're going to have veterans coming back who have clear psychological problems. But the way to deal with that is by giving them the treatment they need, not treating them as adversaries. And I think that's one of the things that has been trending lately, is to look at people who have come back and have problems as an internal enemy.
But more than that, what are your Pentagon associates saying about the fact that, I mean, as you admit, more of this is being swung around internally? From my research, I mean, here's an example. It came out in the Baltimore Sun that Ron Paul and myself and others, and we ended up getting the secret army document, which they confirmed was real, so there's good guys in the military sent it to us, that when I go out and have an In the Fed rally, they've got military army intelligence watching me, and it says in the memo, don't let them know you're with the army. They may be terrorists and may kill you. So they're teaching the army that I'm like some vampire that's going to try to tear their throat out?
There's a number of legal problems with that. And one of the things I came up against during Able Danger, which was the issue of posse comitatus. And I think it's a very good law for a number of reasons. First off, as you just mentioned, it is illegal for the Army to be augmenting directly civil law enforcement operations. That is clearly illegal. So that's one of those things that I know people like Senator Arlen Specter were very much against, the idea of allowing folks to be used for purposes of law enforcement. And there's good reasons for it. And this is something that harkens back to the 1960s, where it was equally a bad idea then to use military intelligence folks for civil law enforcement, and I think it's the same thing now if this is going on. Now, I don't know of anyone within my circle of associates and friends who have been involved in that. It's not to say I don't know what's happening. I personally don't know. I've not been involved. I don't know of anyone of my intelligence friends who have been involved. But I know there's been contingency planning done to look at how the military could be brought in to support civil unrest, support the civil authorities during times of civil unrest. Now, that's something that I know has been kicked around a lot over the past 30 years, frankly. The idea of coming in time of a crisis to actually...
Rex 84. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I literally, in the last 10 years, have had guys get out. They're obviously military in plain clothes, and even threaten me in parking lots. I have national news everywhere saying I'm calling for violence when I'm not. Does it sound to you, Colonel, like they're trying to set me up for something?
Well, it sounds like any other whisper campaign. I mean, Alex, as you know, I was victimized by a whisper campaign by the Pentagon as well when I first broke ranks. And I think there's something else that you need to look at here regarding the fact that when, you know, there's something called CIFA. Are you familiar with CIFA? The Counterintelligence Support Protection. Yeah, that, everything that I heard about that was, and it, I hate to use this as a term, but it was like Darth Vader's vanguard by the fact that those people were, they had no interest in counterintelligence. They were essentially, as I understand it, Steve Cambone's dirty tricks folks. And they, in one case, they were surveilling a Secret Service special agent whose father was speaking out against the Bush administration. I mean, no, I have no doubt that this sort of thing has happened.
So is this just harassment then? Because, I mean, it's like in No Way Out when he's walking along and who are these guys? Well, they're formally associated with special forces, and I'm just like a regular guy with a family who has a big talk show, but, I mean, it's getting really creepy.
And that's one of those things that I think that this is why I spoke out against the use of Blackwater contractors and as some form of mercenary. And this is where there's been a real gray area, Alec, that we have to look at by the fact that I think that there's some real loopholes that have been used by the military and by the intelligence organizations to hire folks who serve in these roles. It's a very murky gray area. And for example, in Afghanistan, the CIA, up until recently, denied it. I was there to handle two of the KIAs from CIA who were there as Blackwater back in 2003. So this is a loophole that a number of organizations have used to hire people off the street who have military background to do things which I think, if they were shown to be in the light of day, they would be shown to be illegal. And this is where people have tried to get around posse comitatus, of ways of trying to influence the thinking of adversaries. You know, frankly, some people just don't appreciate people like you and others who speak out. And I think
Colonel, now we're learning the adversaries are somebody like you or me who just speak out for the Constitution and Bill of Rights as some type of Darth Vader Praetorian Guard. And I know a lot of JAG officers who are retired, law professors we've had on, they're very, very concerned. You know, Atticott from San Antonio and others. But, I mean, it's just for the general public out there, I don't think they realize that this whole black op or slash contractor, they may be contractors, are just out there really intimidating people, surveilling people. We've only got a few minutes left. I can't wait till August to have you on to really, really go over the book in detail, and I hope people will order it because I know I'm going to read it, and it's going to be extremely informative, Colonel Schaefer. But in closing, shifting gears out to what happened in Poland, do you think it's suspicious that the almost entire leadership of the Polish government's aircraft went down?
Well, I get it. There's two parts to it. First, you know, it's like the old whenever someone had a cold in Soviet leadership, you know, that was a bad sign. I think, you know, a cold is not a cold in when it comes to the Soviets. And this may be something that people need to look at as well. From what I understand, the Polish president was very independent. And I think that the fact that everybody went down together in these questionable circumstances, you've got to look at that very hard. The Tupolev, which crashed, frankly, had a horrible, horrible record. When I flew back from Afghanistan, I flew through Tashkent, and the airline that I was supposed to fly back on flew a lot of those. Fortunately for me, they had pretty much grounded all the Tupolevs, and were now using Boeing aircraft. So that aircraft by itself has had a hugely poor safety record.
But it is stupid to put that much leadership in one aircraft.
Well, you never do it. I mean, I think that's a mistake that you just shouldn't make. That's an amateur mistake, Alex. You should never make that mistake, especially when you have the entire military general staff, pretty much every major officer within the government and the civilian side. You got to ask yourself, why would they do that, especially with an aircraft, as I mentioned, with that kind of poor safety record.
Colonel, we've only got 1 minute left. You wanted to make a comment on the bombing in Ireland. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I think it's frankly, from what I've seen from being here just a little bit of time, there's still a great deal of dissension within Northern Ireland. I think there's some chaos there. I think that as things settle in, you're going to see a few things like this. But I think the good news is, if there's any good news, is the fact that I think things have been reduced. You don't have these mass bombings. If nothing else, there was no casualties in this. I think it was meant to send a message. So at least here, I believe that I think they're on a downhill run of terrorism being an effective tool. I'm hoping that people understand that, you know, that things here are pretty much settled, I think. But In other places, they're not. And I think that, you know, anytime we look at terrorism, we have to look realistically at long-term threats. Another thing that I'd like to bring up briefly, we can talk about another time, is Al-Qaeda. President Obama made a statement which I think is very accurate about
Al-Qaeda.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
You may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Tyranny is here. The grim future foretold in 1984 has become reality.
It really says that the state is God.
The United States is now recognized globally as one of the most oppressive police states on Earth. This film conclusively proves the existence of a secret network of FEMA camps, now being expanded nationwide. This documentary exposes how the continuity of government program has established an all-powerful shadow state. Police State 4 chronicles the sickening depths to which our republic has fallen. Prepare to enter the secretive world of emergency dictatorship. Body scanners, sound cameras, citizen spies, stage terror, and cameras on every street corner. It's only the beginning of the New World Order's hellish plan. The police state isn't coming. It's here. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or see it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Colonel Tony Schaefer has been really nice giving us his time. He's on vacation in Ireland. We're going to let him go here in just a few minutes, but putting bookends on this. Get into your Al-Qaeda point, but what is Al-Qaeda? We know it's a Brzezinski computer file at the CIA in 1979. We know it's a term used to try to simplistically label, I guess, Wahhabist sects out of Saudi Arabia. We know those do exist. We know there's different factions in Saudi Arabian princedom where you've got different princes fighting with each other. So we know there's a lot of different groups and organizations, but it just came out last week in federal documents that one of the ringleaders of the Mumbai attack was a, quote, U.S. government agent and helped lead the attack. And so I keep going back to that over and over again. I mean, what is Al-Qaeda today?
Well, I think we have to look at this realistically, because if the intelligence community is doing its job, Alex, they're going to have people who will hopefully will have access to the organization. The problem is, and this was happened with Cap Chapman. I think a lot of the CIA's activities lately have been focused on wishful thinking. I think they recruit people thinking they're going to work for the U.S. and they're true believers. There's really no level of benefit you can give them to make them walk away from what they believe. So I think that's what we're seeing here.
You're saying double and triple agents.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what we're seeing here, where I think it's almost a policy of wishful thinking, hoping these guys will really come over and support us. And then they get triple-crossed back, essentially. Peter Lance did a great book on this, well, it's called Triple Cross, where it talks about Ali Muhammad. That very thing happened there, where the guy was doubled and tripled back against us. And I think that's what we're seeing here a lot of. And we're not being smart as we should to detect when they've been doubled back.
We're running short on time. A few months ago, that CIA base in Central Asia getting blown up, was that a double cross?
Oh, triple cross, absolutely. That guy never left his true belief in Al-Qaeda. And that's why those people died.
So what is Al-Qaeda?
Well, I think Al-Qaeda is it's essentially a franchise of terrorism that the radicals within the Muslim community have been able to use to sustain themselves and try and tie together. I think, for example, Al-Awlaki is really the primary operational leader right now. He's the one who's actually able to plan things. So I think that he is realistically kind of the lead guy right now in Al-Qaeda. I think that's why the focus is so heavy on him. He's been able to pick up his franchise and do a lot with it.
What about Obama saying he's worried about Al-Qaeda getting nukes? I mean, that sounds as ridiculous as saying Saddam Hussein had nukes.
Well, I can tell you that there's a great deal of effort going on to look at this issue realistically right now, Alex. I think that there's a good potential that that's where they want to go for their next big attack. And I don't think they've let down. So I know this may be hard for you and your listeners to accept. I believe that they are going in that direction. I believe that's where they're going next.
Could the Russians, like Alexander Levitz say, actually sell nukes?
I believe that people within the infrastructure would be willing to sell the nuclear weapon based on personal gain. Yeah, I do believe that. So it's something to be cognizant of. I'm not saying it would happen. I think that that's something we need to be realistically looking at, though.
Well, you're going to be able to talk about a lot more of this coming up in August when the book,
yes,
The Dark Side of the Force, comes out. We look forward to speaking to you then. Thanks for the
Great.
Time.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer. Very interesting interview, very interesting individual joining us from Ireland. Okay, here's the deal. We got Jim Tucker coming up for 30 minutes in the next hour, and then I want to do a video game review, because more and more of these video games have a pro-New World Order or anti-New World Order message, and video games in many cases are bigger than the biggest Hollywood films. Some of these video game franchises have made over $1 billion in the last 2 years, things like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, things like that. There's an Infowars.com review of Half-Life 2 that's been out for a few years. But in this video game, they have DARPA control towers that mesmerize the public, and people are microchipped. All of this is what is actually being promoted. I mean, that's mainstream information. You tell somebody, hey, the government can put up mind control towers. Well, DARPA has been talking about that in newspapers. I mean, they're openly talking about drugging the water supply on Fox News to make us more passive. It's already going on. That's why we are so passive. The most aggressive, rebellious people ever in the history of the world. Maybe some of the Greeks were more aggressive, but definitely some of the most aggressive people ever will suddenly put up with anything, because your food, your water, and other things are being spiked. It doesn't matter if you're Colonel Schaefer or a cop down the street or Alex Jones, we're all under attack by this. And he wasn't even, shocked by the fact that I talk about the Pentagon following us around and going to end the Fed rallies. And then when I go to a Bilderberg meeting, I'm at my hotel 5 miles away, and the feds waddle in and say, Jones, let's attack the State Department tonight together. I mean, the feds know full well I'm not going to attack the State Department. They know full well I'm not going to attack the police. They know full well I'm trying to keep people from getting violent here, and that's what's making them mad, and that's why multiple major publications per day are lying and saying I'm calling for violence. And I'm going to get to that in a moment after we take some more of your phone calls. It's just driving me crazy to see this happening. They changed my computer around where my IMs are under a different icon. So I can see the call list. How do I pull that up? Somehow that got minimized in here, because I won't be able to pull it up in there. I need to be able to pull it up here. Okay, good. You're in control of my computer. That's good. Okay, fresh list here. John, Wyoming, Tom, Jim, Jimmy, Ryan, and others. Let's race through your calls. Let's talk to John in Wyoming. You're on the air, John.
Yeah, Alex.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Alex. Okay. A couple of years ago, I saw a great documentary on TV about post-World War II Europe. And Poland's leader at the time was a very patriotic man, just as this man who died the other day. And he was vehemently opposed to the Allies turning over Poland as well as all of Eastern Europe to Joseph Stalin after the end of the war. And mysteriously, one day he got aboard his plane, which had been tampered with not by the Russians, but by the Allies, and it crashed on the island of Malta, killing this man.
It's now been declassified that our own government killed Patton because he didn't want to hand stuff over to the commies. And that's what Jesse Ventura was talking about from Fletcher Prouty, the head of Black Ops, in the book The Secret Team, that our government made a deal with the Soviets to divide up the world and have third world intractable wars to build up their own power bases. It's all staged. Now, there does appear to be a real split now between Russia and the Anglo-American establishment. You heard Schaefer allude to the Russians killing them, and they had reasons to kill them. But recently, the Kaczynski president and his twin, who's in the government, had been prime minister. They have come out, for those that just joined us, I covered it earlier, and said, we're not going along with the European Union. We may get out of it. In fact, here's the headline, New York Times, Kaczynski often at a source of tension with the EU. And see, Iceland has said no to the takeover. Greece is going along with it, only partially. But if Poland says no to the banks taking them over and looting them, and this program of austerity, the whole European Union could implode. And that's not Alex Jones saying that. That's George Soros. So this is leaning towards it being a black op by NATO, but it could be the Russians as well, or it could be natural. Go ahead.
Well, I think that our people did him in much as they did the Polish leader in 1945, who wasn't going to go along with that giveaway of Poland and all of Eastern Europe to Joseph Stalin. I mean, we spent 150,000 American lives to liberate Eastern Europe from Adolf Hitler, and then we turn around and give them to Joseph Stalin. That's like trading in syphilis for gonorrhea. I mean, either way you lose, because they were both brutal dictators, they were both mass murderers, and this man wasn't going along with it, and so they made sure his plane crashed into the island of Malta, so he wouldn't be around to oppose this takeover by Stalin and his...
No, I remember reading about that. Anything else, John?
No, sir, that'll do it, and hope you have a great day.
You too, my friend. Yeah, I mean, people ask, why is Alex Jones still alive? Well, if they kill me, it just makes all my information and material that much more popular. It kind of highlights everything I've done. But somebody like a Polish president who says, I don't like the Russians, but I'm starting to not like NATO and the EU, and you've destroyed our economy with globalization, and we're going to get out of this. And they announced that they were going to do that last week, and 5 days later, he's deader than a hammer. And as soon as we get a hold of Tarpley in the next few days, we'll get him on to give us his take, because he really is an expert in this whole area. Let's go ahead and talk to Tom in Texas. Tom, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Had a good vacation, I hope. April 9th of this year, Sheriff Arvin West of Hudspeth County told citizens to arm themselves because he can no longer protect them from spillover of border violence. That's the third largest county in the state of Texas.
Let me stop you, because we have an Ohio county doing it and a Michigan county saying arm yourselves. But a sheriff, and we've had a lot of South Texas sheriffs on, give me the name of the sheriff, because I want to pull an article on this right now, and also want to get the sheriff on. Give me the name.
Arvin, A-R-V-I-N, West of Hudspeth County, Texas. It borders El Paso.
What's his name again?
Arvin West.
Okay, I thought you said Arvin West of... Okay, Arvin West, and where is he?
Hudspeth County, H-U-D-S-P-E-T-H. It borders El Paso County.
So what we should say is South Texas sheriff says arm yourselves to protect yourselves?
Well, it's more of a West Texas. It's the county that you go through before you get to El Paso County.
Yeah, I just see that as south because it's down there by the border, but sure.
Well,
Yeah, southwest.
Texas is on the border, but... Anyway, what I'm saying is he's telling people in that county to arm themselves because he can't protect them anymore. Also, in the statement, he said that Rick Perry had activated the Texas Border Violence Spillover Contingency Plan, in which he requested federal aid. Is that all that our government and our governor in the state of Texas is going to do? They're just going to let this continue?
Well, remember last year, what was the Texas state senator we had on? We need to get him back on. I forget his name. He said martial law had secretly been declared last year on the Texas border because they believe Mexico will fully collapse into anarchy because of the drug war. If they decriminalize drugs, it would all end like a storm blowing over. But the drug war is meant, just like China was brought down with the drug war, it's meant to bring us down. And so there's no way they're going to stop. But I did get the article. It's a sheriff, Arvin West of Hudspeth County, Texas, tells citizens to arm themselves as he can no longer protect them from spillover border violence. So absolutely, and that's over on the border in West Texas by El Paso. Michael Burgess, get Michael Burgess back on about this situation. Good points. Anything else you want to add, caller?
Well, all I wanted to say was maybe the rest of us start thinking along these lines also, because the obvious Rick Perry is not going to do anything, and it's obvious that Barry Satoro is not going to do anything. I think he's going to let it get to a critical boiling point and then declare martial law and take our rights away.
I agree with you, but again, martial law was covertly declared over a year ago, and that was even in some of the El Paso and other West and South Texas papers. And I remember 6-7 years ago talking about rocket attacks, hand grenade attacks, 17,000 dead this year just on the border. I mean, it is just, I mean, once beautiful towns are just boarded up, high rises, totaled, and now it's getting like that in other cities in the state. But when there's a car bombing with the Mexican mafia killing somebody in Dallas, it's a footnote in the Dallas Morning News. Meanwhile, I'm here calling for nonviolence, and the media's, Alex Jones is deadly, he wants to kill the government, get him, because we're here exposing their whole scam. I appreciate your call, Tom. Man, how many articles have I seen just the last few days? I'm looking for my stack here, it's in my economy stack, where finally the truth is coming out. The police are saying all money goes to the banks now. They're firing more than half of us. Buy guns. But, I mean, you could have, look at New York, look at Chicago, more cops than any other cities per capita, highest crime rate. The cops, if they wanted to protect you, can't protect you. You can't have a cop in every house. You can disarm everyone. The criminals are still going to have guns. It's so elementary. It's so elementary. And on the YouTube videos of these local newscasts where the sheriffs are saying, arm yourselves, I see comments going, if we ban all guns, this would just end. Oh, yes, ban all. Then the murderers would use pickaxes and daggers and clubs. I mean, it's asinine. The answer is more guns, more guns, more guns, more guns. And the American people have known this for over a year. What was it? 14 million guns sold last year, another 3.5 million sold last time. That's almost 18 million guns in the last year and 3 months. 18 million guns sold. The people know what's going on. I don't think some of the general public, though, realizes just how bad it is and how crazy the times are and what we're going into. We're in a depression, folks. We've had a recession going for at least 3 years. Three quarters of a recession. With unemployment above 20% is a depression. Unemployment is not 10% like the news says. Every major private firm says 22%. Makes me dizzy. It really gives me a headache. Jim in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm from the People's Republic of Illinois, and I have one comment and one question. First, I'm going to give you a little background. I have a family member in federal law enforcement, but I'll tell you a bottom line. My wife got me a Romanian AK-47 for Valentine's Day. Nothing says love like an assault rifle. My comment is about this Polish crash. You there?
Yes, sir.
All right. It seems a little suspicious to me. This is supposed to be the anniversary of essentially a Russian genocide of Polish intelligence officers and whatever they are. and all of a sudden it crashes. That seems just a little, you know, it doesn't sit with me right.
No, no, I had thought that as well, but is it meant to be blamed on the Russians, or did the Russians do it? I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just putting out the question. And, by the way, I want to hear you on Coast more. And WLS here in Chicago cuts it off after 2 hours, which is pretty crappy. Okay, here's my question. I'm a little scared about Obama's latest statement about how he is concerned about these, he didn't say suitcase, but essentially suitcase nukes in the hands.
No, I brought that up with Schaefer. He's saying the main threat is now nukes. And how many times have I said, that's the way for revolutionaries to take over? Michael Savage agrees. Limbaugh has said there's no way Obama is going to get reelected. The Democrats are going to have to stage a crisis. Let's just come out with it. The globalist banks are looking at setting off a nuke in this country. They will even go that far to get everybody scared to bow down to Obama and do whatever they say, to then go off and launch new wars to try to get the economy going again. And I think this is a serious issue. In fact, it's in my stack, but I may not find it. Reprint, Obama worried about nuclear terrorism. It's AP. We'll come back, comment on that. Jim Tucker, inside the Bilderberg Group. We know the location of the real enemies of humanity, the real illegitimate government. Straight ahead.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage.
Fact.
Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans.
Fact.
Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver.
Fact.
1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease.
Fact.
Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide.
Don't wait to protect your liver.
Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Here's the headline, Obama, nuclear terrorism is the single biggest threat to U.S. But you get the internal Homeland Security documents, it's gun-owning, libertarian, constitutionalist Americans. You're the big threat to the bankers, you are the legitimate American people, that are the power, that are the sovereigns in this country. Hence, you are the enemy of the bankers. And, well, we'll cover this in a moment. Then I'm going to continue with your calls and Jim Tucker. And I promise to get into all these attacks on free speech and what's happening with the economy and a lot more. Before we go there, I'm very excited to see the big response in pre-orders for Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, and Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Both of these films are designed to wake up people that don't know what's going on. You watch the two-hour, 20-something minute Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. You will know about the shadow government. The FEMA camps are proven without a shadow of a doubt how the COG system works, the executive orders, the John Warren Defense Authorization Act, the riot police and military attacking people at G20. It's an amazing film. Pre-order it today. It starts shipping out next week. If you order Invisible Empire, it arrived today. We have thousands and thousands of the DVDs, and we're going to start shipping them out tomorrow. So many people will get them on or before the 15th. UPS ships anywhere in the U.S. in 4 days, and I think it's 5 days all over Europe. The point is, if you want to order Invisible Empire, that's the history of the New World Order, their money laundering, their drug dealing, their white slavery, their pervert rings, how they use the roundtable groups to control, how they openly want a world government. This is a two-hour, 15-minute film, and they have expanded extras. And your purchase of the films makes this radio show, the news websites, the TV studio we're building, everything possible. So it's also support in the InfoWars. So please visit InfoWars.com today and get Fall of the Republic, Endgame, Terror Storm, Fabled Enemies. They're all available. So it's not even a pre-order now. You can now officially order, and it starts shipping tomorrow. The new film, Invisible Empire, New World Defined, and then it's basically not even a pre-order because we start shipping next week, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, and they will both premiere in the next week and a half at PrisonPlanet.tv. Thursday at 3 o'clock Central, when this radio show ends, the first place it'll be available in the highest quality. We've got DivX versions to burn to disk. That's one of the medium quality ones. All at PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. Get a yearly membership, get 3 months free. And your support of PrisonPlanet.tv also makes this radio show possible. You go get a 15 cent a day, $5.95 a month membership. You can share the passcode with up to six people. Six people with the same passcode can log on simultaneously. Just tell them, don't share this with anybody else. We can't afford the bandwidth. But I did turn it up to six a year ago or so instead of three, so that you could share it with friends and family. Give them your username, passcode. They can watch the live show. They get access to 64 kilobit audio streams, video streams, the 64 kilobit podcast, all my films, a bunch of other great documentaries, Paul Watson's book out of print, my book out of print. It's now 6 years up and running. We launched it in early April 6 years ago in 2004. We are now 6 years of PrisonPlanet.tv, and we're adding more to it, upgrading it. We did an upgrade last year. We're doing another upgrade in the next few months, making PrisonPlanet.tv better and better and better. It's an armory of info weapon resistance, and it is the depository of the modern committees of correspondence, of common sense. Videos are the new pamphlets, and it's up to you to carry them to the four corners of the planet. We're about to drop two big info weapons in the next few days. PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.